you know, giving last week. And got something else I just want to pass out. I'm just going to pass these baskets along. You take one. Hold on to it just during the service. Feel free to play with it. And then when you go out afterwards, you can either keep it or you can put it back in the basket when you go out, because then you have like a cork and you have this, and it's like a lot to have in your pocket or your purse to remind you of stuff. But anyway, you'll get it as we go along if you don't get it right now. Something else I wanted to say, it's on my phone here. Hi. If you want to follow along with the sermon notes, we post them online every Sunday in the YouVersion application under events. Am I doing good so far? If you need help finding those, well, it's too bad during the service, but there will be someone at the welcome booth who can help you after the service. So there's a YouVersion. You maybe are getting familiar by now, YouVersion, which you can go on your mobile device, go under events, look for Pioneer Park Church, and you can see what we're doing here this morning. You can see the outline of my notes. And if you push the save events part, you can keep it in your device. Otherwise, it's going to disappear tomorrow night by 6 o'clock. So it's one of those things that doesn't plug up everything. It just lasts for, you know, a couple days. And so you can do that. You can save it and pore over the notes during the week, you know, as you would like to do, and be reminded of what we talked about this morning. There's an old story about, it's been told often, you've probably heard it in the way of a joke, as it is a bit this morning. There's a story about two young guys who were standing on the corner bragging about who had moved from province to province the most. One guy said, "My family's moved 3 times in the last 3 years. "Oh yeah?" said the other guy. He said, "That's nothing. My parents have moved 5 times this year, and I found them every time." Safe to say that second guy probably came from a home without a strong sense of belonging. I think all of us, though, I think this is fairly true, that all of us, whether it's obvious to us or not, that most or all of us long to belong. We desire or we long to belong. There's built within us a desire, I think, to belong. We do want to be part of something that's living and active, and that makes us feel like we're part of that. And families are supposed to be the ideal place for all of that. They're supposed to be. That's part of the way God designed families. And healthy families are made up of people who are made to feel like they belong, and that their contributions to the family, no matter how small, are appreciated and valuable. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you become a member of the family of God. God becomes our Heavenly Father, and we're adopted into His family as His child. And we belong to that family. And as you think of that, and that's probably not something you've been thinking about this week, but it's no small thing. It's no small thing that we are part of the family of God. In John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, it says this: "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." You see, when we come to Jesus in faith, we gain a heavenly father, but we also gain a heavenly brother as well. And that sounds weird to talk about, but Hebrews 2:11 says, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy," that's us, "have the same father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters." Not only do we gain a heavenly father and a heavenly brother, you become part of a great family made up of millions and millions of people who have joined that family as well. And this church is part of that great family. And we're called to be all we can be in order to love and support the family of God in our area and, as we're able, beyond. I'd like us to take a look at some verses today for just a few moments that tell us a little bit more about what being part of the family of God is about. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. It says this: "So now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." Three things in this passage today that I want to note that each member of the family of God shares with one another. The first thing is, the family shares a common foundation. Again, those verses that we just read in Ephesians say, "So now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." It says here that God's family is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus himself. You know, I don't know if you know, like, cornerstone. What's the deal with cornerstone? Well, the cornerstone is the first stone set in the construction of a foundation. It's important because all the other stones or blocks or whatever are set in reference to the cornerstone. And so the cornerstone determines the position of the entire structure. For Christians, for Christ followers, Jesus is the cornerstone. And our lives and how we're to live them are in reference to the cornerstone, to Jesus and what he taught. Because without him, the whole thing falls apart. It exists because of Jesus, and it survives because of him. We don't get into God's family without him. I mean, I guess we can, in some sense, be part of a community, but not part of his forever family without coming to Jesus. God's family is built on Jesus as a starting point. He is the one who sets everything in the right direction. And when we don't build on that and on the foundation that it talks about, well, it's a bit like the wise and foolish builders that we read about in the New Testament. Jesus talks about them in the book of Luke. He says this. He says, so, it's a lot of words on there. I'll go slow. "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground," or in some translations, builds on the sand, "without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." That's what he said. So we need to be careful that our lives, that the things we do in life are based and built on the foundation of Jesus and his word. Then we can count on the blessings of God in and through the family. So that's the first thing. We have a common foundation. The second thing we have in common is that the family shares a common design. Verse 21 says, "We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." And that doesn't happen by accident. It happens by design. All of us are different. We have different gifts and talents and different temperaments and different financial situations and different jobs and different styles. But for some reason, God saw fit to take all of that and make it work for his grand design to make us, it says, a temple of God. You're all familiar with Lego, right? If not, you are now, because you probably have a piece in your hand. Has anybody ever been to the Legoland in Toronto? store there? No? It's so cool. Yeah, okay, a couple people have been. I saw a picture. It was funny. I was thinking about this week, and then on Facebook, Pastor Chris Padel, he and his family were at Legoland in the Mall of America, and so I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's a cool place. It's a place actually where kids and adults can go and just put stuff together, just build stuff. You can't take it home, but you can just play. And if a person was inclined to do so, they could spend hours and hours there just making stuff. And they've got these huge Lego creations there. Take a look at some of these. It's like, what? Like, that's a, there's the little kids, and that's a giraffe made of Lego. I mean, look at the eyelashes and everything. It's I don't know how long it takes to make that, but I could not last very long building that thing. I'd go crazy. The next slide. If you need some friends, build them out of Lego. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's nuts. What about the next one there? Hey, a nice little polar bear. It's the friendliest, safest polar bear you'll ever be around. Made of Lego, all of that, the rock, the whole thing they're sitting on. I think there might be one more. Ah, anybody recognize Harry Potter and Friends? Yeah. Isn't that something, eh? All made from Lego. It's awesome. It really is, especially when you take the time to really look at what it took to make those things. I mean, it takes Legos of all shapes and sizes and colors. And you know what? When they're put together just the right way, something cool comes out of that, something pretty awesome. Think for a minute now what you could build with only one kind of Lego. One kind of Lego. Basically, you could build a really big brick, because that's what Legos are, right? They're bricks. Hey, check out my brick. You know, wow, just like mine, only smaller. You know, it's, well, that idea, talking about the family of God, it isn't like a single Lego brick. It takes a whole lot more than that to make the kind of family that God has in mind. And it's not like he just said, well, this is all I've got to work with, so I'll just make the best of it and hope it doesn't fall apart. No, God designed us to fit perfectly into his plan as a family that will glorify him with all our differences in mind. And you might be thinking something like this. You mean even my weirdo brother-in-law? Yeah, if he's a believer in Jesus. It may not seem possible, but with God, even that's possible. God designed his family to be built up in a way that brings him glory. And one of the benefits of being part of that family is that we get to be part of that wonderful design. Well, the third thing that the members of the family of God share with each other is this. The family shares a common purpose. Verse 22, through him, you are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. NIV says this way, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what's the end result? The desire that God has for us as he works in us towards his design? It's that we would be holy. It's that we would be holy as his family. The family of God is designed to help us become a place where God can live in us by his Spirit. The Bible talks about it. We work together to be a holy number of people in whom and through whom God can work to bring others to him, to be part of that grand family. And he does this through us as individuals and us as a family. It says we're being built together to become that dwelling. And folks, whether we like it or not, whether it makes us feel weird or not, we need each other. And that's why we can't try to get by with individual Christianity. It was never meant to be that way. It's part of the reason we're talking about life groups in the fall, and we've done that this morning a little bit with you. Scripture is filled with instruction and encouragement to be active in the family. We're built to need each other as we walk and live for Jesus. And we need others to encourage us to sometimes get in our face and to walk alongside us when we're down and hurting. And you know that's happening right now in our church family. and to point us to holiness and love for Jesus. We can't be built together by ourselves. It doesn't work that way. It just can't be done. Can you pause just for a moment, Aaron, the recording? Yeah. So what I want to do just quickly here is note, and when I say five, it sounds like, oh, that's a lot, but we'll go through quickly. Five characteristics of a great family, all of which are supposed to be characteristics of the family of God. A, the family should be loving. John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I hope that sounds familiar, because we considered this whole idea just a couple of weeks ago. One of the greatest signs that we belong to Jesus and the family of God is that we love the members of the family. And that's not to say we're not going to disagree from time to time. Children in a family can disagree, but even in their disagreements, for the most part, they still love each other. And as they grow older, they ought to learn to be more gracious and loving, even in their disagreements. B, the family should be a refuge of safety and caring. A person should be able to bring concerns and struggles to the family of God without worrying about being rejected or finding themselves the subject of prayer requests that are in reality nothing more than gossip. When a member of God's family is facing a difficult situation, they need to be able to turn to the family without worrying about rejection or misunderstanding. Just by following Jesus and joining the family of God, many are and will be rejected by their earthly families. And these folks need a place of refuge and safety too, where they can go and find love and acceptance as they make this huge decision to follow Jesus and to live for Him. And we all need the support that a family brings, whether it's from your home unit or from the family of God. Another thing is that the family should be encouraging in life and faith. When one of your children, if you have children, come to you with a question about faith, how do you respond? I mean, I don't think you'd do this, but do you encourage... No, I think you would do this. Do you encourage them as they ask, or do you say stuff like, oh, don't think about that, sweetie? Or you shouldn't ask those kinds of questions. Or do you help them by answering the question or helping them find an answer? Because, folks, no one here has it all figured out. Especially when it comes to things like living for Jesus and understanding and applying God's word. We need to encourage each other in life and faith. Also, the family should be unified. The family should be unified. Paul writes in Philippians 2:2, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. There are no good outcomes for a family that's fractured or even just going in different directions. Being unified allows the next thing to happen. The family should be growing. Paul also writes in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and each day the Lord, Luke. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, the family is never big enough. Now, I don't mean that, by the way, oh, it's got to be bigger. But it's not like, oh, this is good. Let's just keep the family this size. The family is never big enough. There will never be a sign that says no vacancy. And until Jesus returns, we need to be a family that says, welcome, welcome, welcome. I mean, I hope that's our attitude toward those who are outside the family of God. If they're not a part of the family, then we need to live and talk and act in ways that help them become part of it. Because they need to know that sins are forgiven through Jesus. And that they can be sure of having a home in heaven. And when God's family is healthy and functional, it naturally grows. And it takes other families to make that happen. And I don't just mean the way Steve and Lauren are doing it, biologically. But you know what I mean. Not only ought the family to grow in size, but it also ought to grow in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus for each one of us. Well, this morning, here are some questions that I want to ask for ourselves in light of these things. What kind of family member am I? What kind of family member am I? Am I a loving family member who not only cares for those already in the family, but also looks for others to become part of it, just like I did? Can I grow as a family member by becoming more loving or more caring or more forgiving? Because not only will it help the entire family, it will open you up to receiving the benefits of being part of the family. And folks, I don't think I have to tell you this, but I say earthly families are more dysfunctional today than it seems ever before. Maybe that's because I didn't live back then and they really were, but it seems that earthly families are more dysfunctional than ever before. Selfishness, they say, selfishness among family members is at an all-time high. Adultery, abuse, neglect, favoritism, runaways, all sorts of stuff are beating families up. And we need to show people that at least in the family of God, there can be a place of refuge and a place of acceptance. We're not perfect. And at times we can be just like the little children in earthly families who cry and whine because we don't get our way. None of you here today, of course. But by the grace of God, we can be a safe place as we work to know God better and to love Him more. Because the more that we love God, the better we can love and care for our family members. So let's continue to show, and all the more show, the community around us that the family of God is a caring community. Loving one another because we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Last question. What's one thing you can do this week to continue growing into the kind of family member who demonstrates God's love to those inside and outside of the family? What's one thing that you could do this week to continue growing into the kind of family member who demonstrates God's love to those who are either part of the family God, the family of God, or those who are still outside the family? Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for the ridiculous idea, it seems, or unfathomable or hard to understand idea that you want us to be part of a family of yours. I get the "you are Heavenly Father" part, and Lord, I thank you for that. It's absolutely amazing that you invite us to come and be part of your family. And you invite us to do that by acknowledging our sin, by asking for forgiveness, by coming to you and inviting Jesus into our life to be our Savior, to be our director of our life, however we might put it. And Father, I thank you that we have a brother in the family in the name of Jesus who calls us his brothers and sisters. And our inheritance is that of his. It's mind-boggling. But Lord, that's just part of how much you love us. And I pray that we would know that this week. I pray that you would help us to think of maybe even just one thing that we could do this week that would help us to grow as a member of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all